We left off last week. We were discussing the issue of a barrier. The example that the Gemara gave of a barrier, and you have an entire unit of a Gidanosha. So one Gidanosha gets mixed into a lot of Gidanosha, so we don't apply the regular rules of Dittel Barov. We say that it's considered to be a whole creature, a whole entity, and therefore it's never going to be Bottle. And based on Sugyas and Zenas Makos, the Gemara extended this idea to barriers of bugs, which is probably the more relevant shaila for us. Most of us haven't had too many Gidanoshas mixed into our food, but bugs is a real shaila. That the simple reading of the Gemara is that an entire bug, no matter how small it is it's visible, an entire bug, an entire creature is considered to be a barrier, and therefore it's not going to be bought out. We mentioned last week whether this carries over to those brachas, whole fruits, things of that nature. But in terms of after those kashrus, so then the din of barrier clearly does apply. The Shulchan Aruch assumes that a barrier is not bottle at all, because there was one opinion that says maybe a barrier is bottle in a much, much higher amount. And again, some hold that way, but the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass away. The simple reading of the Gemara, the Rishonim is that a barrier is never ever going to be bottle. Question: is there anything we can do about that? Is there anything, if we have a situation where we have it, something which would otherwise be a barrier, is there any way for us to rectify the situation? So one possibility would be to break up its barrierness. Let's say instead of going the route of Vittel, because Vittel isn't going to be effective, what if I try to destroy it being a barrier? That's all I have to do that. You break your hip, so if I break the bug into two pieces, that if I see it in front of me, obviously that would be a problem. But if I break it up in such a way that it's no longer visible, so then once it's no longer visible, the din of Vittel would kick in. What prevented us from applying Vittel is the fact that it was a whole unit. And once it's a whole unit, it's not a whole unit anymore, then presumably we would be okay. That would be a good option. The only problem is this may run into a problem of something that we spoke about in the previous week, is of aim about this lechatchila. So we learned in Siman Tzadik Tes that there are two applications of the principle of aim about this lechatchila. One is, I'm not allowed to take a davar osur and throw it directly into a davar muta. Say, take a little bit of chazer and throw it into a big pot of cholent to aim about it. I'm not even allowed to, it's called bosif al heter. Even if there's a little bit of chazan that fell in already, and I want to just add more chulat, make it over shisha, I'm not allowed to do that either. And the third thing that I'm not allowed to do is, I'm not allowed to affect a bittol by removing a chashivos. So let's say, for example, the Mishnah speaks about, Mishnah says, Orla speaks about if you have certain types of fruits or nuts, Orla, that won't be bottle, because it's varm chashuvim, because they're a whole unit, a whole, not a berry, but a chashiv nut or something. The Mishnah says that if one of those nuts gets mixed into other nuts, and I can't tell which is which, so I have to ask all them based on Varia, I can't start cracking the nuts. If I start cracking the nuts, that's tantamount to creating Bittel. By removing the status of the Bechoshev, that's like being Vatel, Lachatchila. Well, cover based on everything we just said, we're in trouble. Let's say a person has, say for argument's sake, used some broccoli that had bugs in it, let's say, and now it's mixed together, and he wants to be mevatel the berries. What does he throws the whole thing into the food processor? So he throws it again. Somebody that's going to do the trick. He throws it into a blender. He throws it into something that's supposedly going to be break up the barrier, if those facts are correct. So lechara, that would be a problem, because a mevatel as lechatchila would kick in. The last one wants to suggest as follows. This is something that we spoke about. I don't remember, we've been learning our day already about 3 years. I don't remember which point along the way we spoke about this. But there is an issue in terms of a mevatel as lechatchila. What if my kavana is not to be mevatel? What if I really couldn't care less about this bug? This is not, I'm not like the person who's adding chaza to the children. It's, I want to eat my broccoli. It happens to me there's a bug in there. I would love to pick the bug out and take it out and start over again. But the mice said, I can't practically do that. So what do I do? So I'm mevatel the barrier. I'm mevatel the barrier, therefore I'm eating the food. But not that I'm really interested in eating the barrier. So one could argue, maybe that's not called a mevatel lechatchila. Is that true or not? That's already a big question. Is that called a mevatel lechatchila? So here you have, appears to be a machlokes rishonim. There is a Ran in Masechet Avodah Zarah that discusses a shail in terms of kasher and kalim. There is an age-old question in terms of how could you kasher any kalim? So there's a shvushal, matan shal, because presumably Klai Yisrael had to start all over again. They had to start from scratch when they had to start with kasher all over again after matan Torah. Although it's interesting, the Gemara learns out the dinim of Kasher and Kelim for much later on. The Gemara says the parish of Kasher and Kelim was given to them 40 years later by Melchemes Moab. So what did they do beforehand? What did they do with all the camel that they used before? But I'm not sure what the story was. Maybe everything was in Ibn Yom, I don't know. But getting back to this story, so there is an age-old problem when you kasher a kli, is that what are you going to accomplish by kashering a kli? You're going to take a pot which has bleers of chazer in it, and you're going to boil up water in it, you're going to kasher it. So what's going to happen? Kabbalah kach bolto, the same way that the bleers went into the pot, they're going to come out of the pot. That's really nice. But then kapolto kach bolo, the bleers are going to come right out of the pot into the water. Where are they going to go? They're going to go right back in again. So what in the world did you accomplish? So you just have the perpetual bleers go back and forth. So how does kashering ever work? So this is not my kasher, this is the Rishonim's kasher. So Rishonim say, the only way to solve this problem, you have to nip the problem in the bud. You have to kasher in such a way that the bleas that came out don't really bother us, that they're going back in again. So how do you do that? So come some Rishonim and say, very simple. Let's say, forget about kashering pasta. So I kasher in a spoon. I want to kasher a spoon. So I take a little spoon and throw it into a big, big pot of water. So whatever bleas come out of that spoon are going to go into the water. They're going to be buffled in a million times water. And now whatever Tom's going to go back in, is it ready, Tom Balto? So that's one solution to the problem. So Tosfos says, if that's the case, that's the solution to the problem. So that's true when it comes to kashering little spoons and forks. What about when you want to kasher a big pot? How are you going to do that? So you have to put the big pot into a bigger pot. And what are you going to do when the big pot becomes straight? You've got to put it into a bigger. Eventually you're going to reach a point where this is the biggest pot. How are you going to kasher the biggest pot available? So Taisa Torchim, Taisa the Rishon, try to figure out if you get 8 out of kasher the big pot. But a little spoon, the Rishon say, no problem, just kasher it based on Dittel B'Shishim. So comes the rod, and if it deserves Dittel B'Shishim, what happened to Eim Avatel Eschat Chilin? What right do you have to be Avatel B'Shishim in such a manner? You're causing a Dittel Eschat Chilin. So the rod says, no, that's not a problem. That's not a problem with Eim Avatel Eschat Chilin. You know why? Because you don't really care about it. You're not interested in that. You don't want to eat the bleas. You're not interested in eating those molecules of chaz that have been sitting around the pot for a while. You're interested in just using the pot. So whenever your kavan is not levatel, even though a bitl is taking place, that's not called a violation of Eim Avatel Eschat Chilin. So if that would be the case, here also, like Gemara is not to eat the bugs. Like the case in the Gemara where the person is cracking the nuts because he wants to eat all the nuts. The person is putting the treifas into the chazer into the children because he wants to eat, wants to add taste to the children. The person who's being most velahetic wants to be able to eat everything here. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be able to eat my broccoli. I have a bug inside my broccoli, and there's a berry, and the berry is in a potato. So I'll circumvent that, but I'm not having kavana lechol to eat the berry, and therefore that's not called the problem. That's what the Rad says. So the Yemen says the Rishonim don't say that. There's a big machlekes Rishonim about this. There's some Rishonim who hold that is not the case.
According to the Rad, then, since a little chazer by mistake fell into the cholent, I want chazer. I just want to eat my cholent. Say you can add.
Oh, see, one time, if the guy really comes and says, listen, I would much rather take the chazer out. I'm not interesting. That's a question. Can you say that? If you argue that, well, there's chazer in this, so the chazer is adding to the volume of the cholent in a positive way. So even though that's not really my kavanah, maybe that is considered to be my kavanah. So I'm not sure. I don't think the Rav would say that because. That's the classic case of most of all. I think that's the problem. I think this is, I think this is different. I think here because the bleas are so insignificant. It's not shy for anybody to want. I want to eat the bleas. I'm going to sit down and have a meal of bleas. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the Rav would say. So the whole point is, if that's the case, if you accept this round of a desire, then you would be l'chora home free in terms of the buzz, assuming that you figured out a way to be mevatel the berry in this. Then you have more of a mitzvah question. You have to talk to the different kashrus agencies because you may get different answers to this question as to what processes can or cannot accomplish this goal. Will food processing accomplish this? Will freezing accomplish this? Again, you have different opinions as to what could potentially accomplish this process of breaking up the barrier. But assuming that physically Matthias is going to happen, so then one can argue that maybe it wouldn't be as serious a problem in terms of Mevatel. But the question that we really left open last week was that this is all assuming that we have a barrier here. The question is, do we have one or do we not? Okay, so of course, in the case of the Gemara, so we know exactly what we have. We have a gid. We know there were 100 gid in here. We know one was a gid on Hashem. And sure, in the case of the Gemara Makdes and the Shemarach, we know there's a bug here. We mentioned last week the Shemarach calls for the Rishonim that if you're eating a bowl of soup and you find one bug, you can take the bug out and you can continue if you want. If you find the second bug, you take the bug out and continue. If you find three bugs, It's already a chazoch, I'm sure. And let's go. You'll find that three bugs in there. That's already a chazoch, that there are bugs in the whole food. Then you can't just eat the food. Then you have to really go through it and mamish go with a sift and figure out a way to make sure that all the bugs are there. So in all the cases of barrier,
if you find one bug though, then we know that there's a problem. In other words, so why? In other words,
no, you have to take the bug out. So you take the bug out.
You can see it.
You can see it. Sure. It doesn't trafe up the soup based on Hilchos Kashrus because the bug we assume is a nice intact gam. It doesn't taste too good in the first place. So even though it's also to eat it, but it doesn't cause a bleus, doesn't cause positive bleus. But the question is, how do you know you have the bug here in the first place? So there's a whole Siman Shulchan Aruch all about at what point do we make a statement that we're concerned that there are bugs, and at what point do we say probably no bugs there. So what are the rules and the criteria that we should use rather than going through every single possible vegetable? What are the basic rules? So the rules are as follows. We have an age-old rule called the following rove. You know, we spoke about this many times. There are different principles of rove. There's what's called the Ruba de Isikaman, Ruba de Leisikaman. Ruba de Isikaman means I have 10 stores in front of me, 9 of them are selling kosher, 1 selling treif. I find a piece of meat on the floor, I can assume that it came from the kosher store. And then a Torah for sure I can eat it. The rabbi comes a little more complicated about Bamikra, then it would be mutter to eat this piece of meat, even though I really don't know for certain where the meat came from, because I follow Rav. That's Ruben de Isikaman, because all the stores are in front of me. Ruben de Leisikaman means that there is no store, there are no stores to point to, but I can make some kind of intelligent guess, I can make some kind of an intelligent statement that it's probably the following. So let's take some of the examples that the Gemara says that Rav Behemoth had a Trefos. So if you have I have an animal in front of me and I want to know, can I drink the milk from this animal? So if the animal is a treifa, then I'm not allowed to drink the milk. If the animal is not a treifa, then I am allowed to drink the milk. I don't know what the animal is. How am I going to know? There's no way of knowing whether it has a hole in the stomach or not, a hole in the head, a hole in the heart. How am I going to know? So the only way to know is to check the animal and to open it up and check. I don't want to do that. I want to drink the milk. So the din is you're allowed to drink the milk. You follow Rove. That's the Gemara says. You're allowed to follow Rove. Rove behemoth ain't a treifas. Somebody was telling me that the Surin Hashkach organization received a call from somebody who they wanted to know, do you guys rely on Rove? That was the question. Do you rely on the principle? You want to show from you was the guy who asked the question. I don't want to rely on Rove. Rove's only been the heaven. I don't want to rely on Rove. So he asked, do you rely on Rove? So apparently the person who answered the phone said, do you eat meat? Do you drink milk? So the guy said, of course. He says, you also rely on Rove. I said, anyone who drinks milk relies on Rove. Anyone who eats meat relies on Rove. Because when it comes to meat also, how do you know the animal's not a treifa? So we shed him, we gave him a set of food. We don't open up animals and check the hearts and check the heads and check the intestines. We don't do any of that. Why is that? Because there's an overwhelming Rove that it doesn't have a problem. That's called the Ruben Aleisa Kaman. So Ruben Aleisa Kaman is okay. So the Chur, that should be the principle that should guide us in terms of checking for bugs as well. So I have a question about, I have a particular head of lettuce in front of me, a particular head of broccoli in front of me. So what are the statistics? What are the odds that there's any bug in here? Am I required to be boldic in the first place? So if I drink milk without being boldic for trafus, if I eat meat without being boldic for trafus, so why can't I eat broccoli without being boldic for bugs either? Assuming that the Rove is in my favor. So let's take the best case scenario. There's a Rove. Most people have checked broccoli over the years. They've seen that 75% of the broccoli doesn't really have bugs in it. 75% of the romaine lettuce probably doesn't have bugs in it. So assuming that those facts are correct. So that's the case. You know, what are we wasting our time checking for? We're given a multi-million-dollar bug cashless industry for what? They said, why don't we rely on Rove? So the end, part of the answer, well, who knows if you have a Rove, number one, but number two, even if you have a Rove, there's another consideration. That's what the Rishonim write in the very beginning of Masechet Chul. We spoke about this in one of the Yevamos Shiurim not that long ago. The Ramban develops all Yisoid, Rashi has it, but the Ramban develops it even more. In the beginning of Masechet Chul, that's as follows. But even though it's true that nobody checks for treifos, we know when we check the animals, we do not open up and look at the stomachs and the intestines, the hearts and the heads, etc. But there's one part of the animal that we do look for, and those are the lungs. Even though it's interesting that the Gemara never says black on white, you have to check the lungs of an animal. You look at the Masechet Chul, to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't say the Feirish, you have to check the lungs of an animal. How do you know? Where does it say you have to check the lungs of an animal? So there's the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Beitza, that the Gemara speaks in very, very harsh terms about a person who's a butcher, shechts an animal, is a butcher, and he takes the animal apart, he eats it right away, and he doesn't wait. The Gemara says that's a terrible thing until you're bodek, until you start to check. You have to make sure it's not enough just to shecht an animal, you have to make sure that you bodek the animal as well before you eat it. Bodek for who? What are you checking for exactly? So the Ramban says that it's clear for the Gemara, you don't have to check mamash for traces, but it's also clear, says the Ramban, that you have to check for some things. What are you checking for? So the Ramban says that we have a tradition, Yishvi Piyishvi, for thousands of years, that when you shecht an animal, you open up and you check the lungs. So that's what the Gemara Beis is talking about. The Gemara doesn't say the word lungs, but favors. Why? So my Manish Tana, the lungs are different from the rest of the animal. So the Ramban says the answer is very simple. It's a question of statistics. The Ramban says that when it comes to holes in the heart and in the brain and in the stomach and intestines, so it's an unbelievable rove. It's not just a 51% rove, it's a phenomenal rove, it's a 95% rove, it's an amazing rove, and therefore when you have an amazing rove, you're not even mechuyev to look for trouble. But says the Ramban, sometimes you have a situation where you have a rove, it's a rove, by the skin of its teeth it's a rove, but there's what's called an Allah Amir Amotzi in front of us. There is a minority, there's a small percentage of problems, and that small percentage of problems is, although in the Torah is not considerable, but it is realistic. It is a real bona fide fear. That's what the Rabban coined a new phrase called Amir Amotzi. That it's a miyut, yes, it's true, it's a miyut, but it's a miyut amotz, it's something which is found, which is fairly commonly found, and therefore one is required to check for that. So that's the sort of the Ramban develops. And so that explains everything going on in the constrictors, that you don't have to check for a hole in the stomach, that's a miyut she'ein amotzui, but you do have to check for a hole in the lungs, or sirchas, which are also indicative of holes in the lungs, that you have to check for, that's called the miyut amotz. That's the sort of the Ramban. Question is, how serious is this checking? How much do you have to check? Means what is the degree, what is the mechayah, so to speak, of checking for these mir amotzeis? Is this a din only midrabanan? Is this the chumah midrabanan? Or somehow this is a din mid Torah as well? Or whatever the answer to the question is by bedikas of lungs is going to carry over to bugs as well. So if you have a situation where statistics and studies, observation has shown us that 99% of heads of lettuce don't have any bugs in them, so then you wouldn't be required to check at all. But if statistics tell us that it's not 99%, it's only 75%, so I don't know yet where the cutoff point of Mir HaMotzei is, but if you reach the point, you pass the threshold of Mir HaMotzei, then you would be required to check this lettuce. The question is that Mir HaTorah? Is that Mir HaRabbanan? So the answer is, this is not a bug question, this is a tragic question. Whatever the answer is in the Tregis, that's the answer here as well. So this new category of halacha called Mir HaMotzei, is this a requirement in the Torah, or is this a requirement in the Rabbanan? This is going to spill over, the original discussion we shared with Tregis, is going to spill over to bugs as well. So the Ramban, in that sugya, the beginning of Maseches Chulin, quotes the machlokes that he had with other gedolim before him. The Ramban says, what would the din be if you shechted an animal and you're all ready to open up and check the lungs, and then somebody comes and steals the lungs, and the lungs are gone, and takes them and destroys them. I can't find the lungs anymore. So can I eat the meat or not? What's the din? So the Ramban quotes the Sambi Sharm saying, now eat the meat. Some Rishonim say, you have to check the lungs. How could you possibly eat the meat if you're not checking the lungs? So it's finished. The meat is now misafik and strafe. The Ramban says, nah, he doesn't think it's a problem. The Ramban says that you were supposed to check the lungs, but you never got around to it. It didn't happen, so you were negligent in what you did. But so the meat is kosher. Why is that? So presumably the Ramban is holding that. It's the whole din of bedikas is only a chumra bi'alma. It's not me ikam ikra din. If it would have been the ikam ikra din, then maybe it would have posed the problem of the oven. Unless someone wants to argue that it's a din l'chatchila min haTorah. Maybe you could say that. But it's more mistaper to say that according to the Ramban, it's only a din midirabana, the whole checking. How come you could call it something chumra bi'alma? Has the Ramban know that he's right? So the Ramban says, I'll prove to you on the shadow of doubt that I'm correct. The other Rishonim are not correct. Says the Ramban, interesting phrase, says, Esmol shatinu chalva, hayom l'nochum b'sara. Says, yesterday we drank the milk from this animal. What gave us the right to drink the milk from this animal? We relied on Rove. The statistics are there's a chance that that it may have a hole in the lung. It's a mira motzoi. The answer is, even though it's a mira motzoi, clearly for ef shemalav hochi, it's mutter. It means no matter what you hold, the rice, whatever, no matter what you say, that push comes to shove, if you can't do it, then you rely on Rove. You're allowed to rely on Rove even in a situation of a mira motzoi. So says the Rabban, if yesterday we relied on the Rove to drink its milk, so today we're going to turn around and be firm. We're going to say, no, we can't eat the meat because somebody stole the lungs. So the Ramban says the whole din of checking the lungs is only a chumra bi'amas, a chumra lechatchila, the rice, the whatever you want to call it. It's not the diavad. It can never ever answer anything but diavad. This is the view of the Ramban. So it's not only the Ramban who says this. Rashi says this as well. But whereas the Ramban wrote a whole chiddush Ramban, a set of chumra for 2 pages to try to prove this is right, Rashi said it in one line, and Rashi said, don't tell anybody about it. Rashi writes on in his parish, in the Masechta Chumash. So Rashi writes that the din is that if you check an animal, you have to check the lungs, kayadua. But if you did check the lungs, something happened to the lungs, they were taken. So Rashi says, the meat is still kosher. Rashi says, Eim lefaisim adover. Don't publicize this. Eim lefaisim adover, Rashi says, because if you're going to tell people this, they're going to the rabbi just said, you have to check the lungs. So Rashi says, people shouldn't know this. So keep it under hashash. But both the Firashi, both the Firamban, the check in the lungs is a chumra lechetchila. It's not in the sense of nikradin, in the sense of the dievet aser the food. But not to say the fact that Rashi and the Ramban are telling us that all these bedikas are lechetchila. Could it be that the deraisa is it shayach that there's such kind of a bedika and a level of deraisa? So I think we spoke about this. I don't remember exactly when, but there is a I don't know if it was on the Sunday morning shurim or the shurim of kind of one big blur. We'll talk about it now for a moment. There is a discussion that revolves around a cryptic statement in the Mechilta. The Mechilta shashins in the pasuk v'shamarta sachuk azos lemoadam yamim yamima. That it's unclear what the pasuk is even talking about in the first place, but according to one interpretation of the Tanna, the Mechilta is interpreting it's referring to the mitzvah of tefillin. You have to be shomri at tefillin yom yamima. What does that mean, yom yamima? So we thought that means every day. So the Mechilta says no, yom yamima means once a year, like yom and tiagul also. Yom yamima means you have to shomri tefillin once a year. What does that mean? Put tefillin on once a year? What do you have to do once a year? You have to buy your tefillin once a year? What are you supposed to do with your tefillin once a year? Yom yamima. So the Mechilta says a very strange thing. The Mechilta says, Mikandi, you have to check your tefillin once a year. It says in the Chilta, you have to open up your tefillin and check them, make sure the parasha is still kosher once a year. So we happen not to pass like this. The Gemara says that you don't have to do that. The Gemara speaks about checking the children because the zuzos are exposed to the elements. That's a different story. So we pass, you don't have to. But the Chilta says, the Farish, the Tanaim say, statement of one of the Tanaim is that you have to check it till once a year. So the Mishkios Yaakov writes in the Tshuva, what are you checking? What are you doing for? What is the point of the checking? So the Mishkios Yaakov says, the answer is as follows, that the odds are that the tefillin is still kosher. If the tefillin kosher last year, it haven't fallen into water, you never left them out in the sun for a week, the odds are nothing after them. The odds are the parashiyos are still kosher year in, year out. However, there is always a chance that the parashiyos became possible. There's a chance, the wear and tear, the sweat. There are always remote possibilities that something went wrong, that they ain't faded over time. So says Mishkos Yaakov, you have to really be concerned with that. So he says, well, it's a Rauf. The statistical probability of the parasha still being kosher is fairly high. So it says the Mishkos Yaakov, after a year, although it's still high, but there's already a miut, and it's already a miut amotsoi, it's a miut that you have to reckon with, you have to be concerned with. And how much is the miut amotsoi? So the Mishkos Yaakov says 1 in 10. There's a 1 in 10 chance that he did his studies and observations in the slaughterhouses. So he said, we open up lungs and we see 1 in 10 lungs or so approximately has a problem. So if it's a 1 in 10 chance, that's already called the Mira Masri of the Ramban. So the Mishkos Yaakov tells us that it was a 1 in 10 chance that this will be possible over a year. I don't know, I'm not going to argue with the Mishkos Yaakov's numbers, but it's hard to comprehend that. He said, we know that people check the tefillin 10 years later and the tefillin is still in perfectly good condition. So somehow the Mishkos Yaakov tells us that according to the Mechilta, you have to check the tefillin once a year because of the chashash of Mira Masri. So says the Mishkos Yaakov, it's a pasuk in Chumash, v'shamarta sachuk gazos t'modam, yom yamima. So says the Mishkos Yaakov, if you're mechuyev to check your tefillin in the Torah, because of Vishamarta, then you're mechuyev to check the lungs of the animal in the Torah because of Vishamarta, and you're mechuyev to check the broccoli and the romaine lettuce because of Vishamarta. It's a din min haTorah that you're not supposed to rely on Mira Motzoi when you don't have to, but on a Rove, say now it's supposed to rely on a Rove and there's Mira Motzoi when you don't have to. So according to Mr. Yaakov, he just took something which we've been negating, and we've been saying, it's a Darabona, it's a Chumar B'Yalma, it's a Lechet Chila, we're not going to lose too much sleep over it. Says to Mr. Yaakov, really? Not, it's a Diaraisa, and it's written in your Parsha of Tzvon, and some people say the Parsha of Kaddish, and Mishamayim, this Chugazois, is a real Dimin HaTorah, you have to check for from Yeram Otzois. So that's a very, very big chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush what the Mishkas Yaakov says. The Pashas in the Poskim is that it's not true. The Pashas in the Poskim is that the whole Bedikas are only a Chumras, the Rabbanas, the Chachilas. I'm not minimizing doing them, but to say that they're Diaraisa, based on Mishamayim, is very difficult for many, many levels. First of all, the whole Pasuk Mishamayim, we Paskin is referring to Korpes, not even referring to Tefillin. And Yom Yamima, according to those who say it refers to Tefillin, it doesn't even refer to once a year, it refers to putting on Tefillin every day. It's the whole Mechilta is a Das Yochel. It's the Tana, we're not going to make light of the Mechilta, but we don't, Pashto says we don't pass like this entire story, like this entire Mechilta. The Meshech Chochma has a fascinating insight in Chumash. Meshech Chochma says that even if the Mechilta is right vis-a-vis Tefillin, it still doesn't apply to checking for loans. Why? He says there's a difference between a mitzvah say and a mitzvah lo sasei. Chachma says that when it comes to mitzvah sasei, if it turns out that the Tefillin were puzzled, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So it can be onus of table tomorrow. I tried, but l'maisi, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So when it comes to mitzvah's essays, you have to be more machmir, because even if you know this, onus is command the law of the dummy. But you didn't put on the tzol. Mashayin, when it comes to eating trade, so we have a rule, onus for what a pasuk. So even if it turns out about mishmaya that I ate trade, it wasn't my fault, so I ate trade, it's a big deal, I relied on Rav. So says the Meshechach, was strange, we usually think Losa says, it's more common than I say. So he says, in the realm of relying on onus, so it's better to rely on onus for a Losa say, rather than to rely on it for an essay. So the Meshechach wants to salvage the Mechilta. He doesn't want to toss out the Mechilta, he wants to save onto the Mechilta, but he doesn't want to come to the conclusion of Mishkas Yaakov, that the Dikas of Traitors, the Dikas of Broccoli is a Diraisa. Anyway, the Meisim, when all the dust settles here, in terms of barriers, the barrier is a real issue, and we have to be concerned with barriers, and we have to talk to the experts and find out what are the numbers, how serious a chashash is it. So if it's a very, very low percentage of having a bagdia that is beneath the threshold of a miyad hamatsui, so we can ignore it. You're not mechuyav to check for such bugs. If it's high, if it reaches the point of a miyad hamatsui, then we ask it has to be checked for. Either deraisa, derabana, achumra, whatever you want to call it, but the mice is the same as lungs. Say, but we wouldn't eat animals without checking lungs. We would be very disappointed if people were selling us meat that wasn't checked the lungs for. Even though with the evidence, it's okay, and maybe. You know, that's not the way we run kashrus. So the same issue when it comes to checking for bugs. The bugs, whatever the numbers are. You can have different opinions, people telling you different opinions as to what the statistics are. But if the statistics are high enough that they reach the point of being a monster, then one is supposed to check for them. If one could figure out a way to physically destroy the barrierness of the bug, even though it's probably there, so that, according to many, would be okay. So that's a different issue with kashrus. Different kashrus organizations are weighing in differently in terms of what methods, if any, are effective of destroying that barrierness. The Kozban, if there's a real fear that in this head of lettuce there's a bug, if there's a real fear in this piece of broccoli there's a bug, so that's a problem. That's something that a person should be concerned with in terms of whatever your standards are in terms of the bedikas of the lungs of the animal, should pashas carry over to the bedikas of the bugs.
As an account, you know what's going on. 1 in 10.